The End of the Innocents from Don Henley. Good stuff. Now, we do have Julia Fordham and, as I said before, a couple of fine, upstanding young musicians. And before I even speak to the lady, I'm going to let you hear a sample of what she does for a living. Going to disturb her on CD because we want her live in the studio. Julia, welcome to the programme.
Thank you.
Are you all right?
Well, I'm very well. I'm quite excited because it's like going into the 90s, which I'm really looking forward to. And as you said, I have my lovely young assistant musos with me today.
They are wonderful. Do you want to introduce them to us all?
I do. If only, in fact, you could see what these people look like at home, but I'll have to describe them on my immediate left. The delightfully gifted Miles Bold, who's going to play...
He's actually going to make the tea.
He's going to make the tea. He is. You're quite right.
Oh, not because he's got a kettle in front of him, and he, you know,
it's a tea urn actually, an African tea urn, and other people call it an udu. But Miles will now give us a small demonstration. It's incredible what
Very
you can do with
the
kettle these days.
Yes.
And Dominic Miller is a wonderful guitarist, and he'll now give you a small burst of his nylon strung thing.
We're going to go a long way today.
He is actually a rock and roll hooligan.
Oh, really?
And he plays with all sorts of very noisy people, like King Swamp, and he's about to go off with Chrissy Hynde. And
This suggests, Julia, that you pull in people every now and then. You pull in different people from different bands for your needs of the moment. Would that be an assessment?
Well, not necessarily. I mean, I have a sort of very small nucleus. I mean, Miles is the only person I managed to sort of pull... No, I don't mean that at all. You know what I mean. I mean, Miles is sort of like a key member.
Yeah.
And, you know, Dominic, we keep trying to make him a key member, but he will insist on going off with other people. And I do have a wonderful arranger and pianist who I work with who's been involved on both albums.
And we couldn't get the piano up the stairs.
We couldn't get the piano up the stairs, yes, so we thought, heck. And also he lives on the Isle of Wight and his name's Grant Mitchell.
So basically today, when you start to perform your music for us, we'll be hearing it on two guitars. It's
two
guitars. A nylon strung guitar and a metal.
Well, it's sort of a semi-acoustic, which is what I use. I mean, because I'm not really very good at the electric guitar. In fact, I'm probably not that good at the guitar at all.
We shall find out shortly.
As you'll soon find out. Well, this actually sounds quite impressive, but I don't want to deceive you.
You are still fairly new on the scene. You haven't really been around for that long, have you?
No, I mean, this is only my second year.
I mean,
as a solo artist. I mean, I've actually been around for about 1,000 years as a sort of, you know, support.
Well, I'm not going to embarrass you now that you're in front of me by saying that, you know, talking about your voice, because I've said on many occasions how individual I think it is.
Thank you.
And that's the reason that you're in the studio live, because we don't often have people in the studio live. But having said that, when was the point from you that you suddenly thought, the little idea sprung into your head, hang on a minute, I could do this on my own as opposed to doing backing vocals for other people?
Well, I actually had the idea very clearly when I was 12, and that may sound
what, 2 years ago?
Yes, I know. It's funny, isn't it? Mm. Horribly precocious. But I really did. The minute I sort of got a guitar and started writing songs and being truly revolting, and I run downstairs going, Mom, listen to this. And they go, oh, God, child, you know, when will she ever snap out of it? And, of course, I never did. And that was always my vision. And I just sort of, like, got not lost along the way. I mean, you just sort of, like, you have to build a foundation to sort of support yourself.
In other words, it's a bit, it's a parallel to when people come to me and say, I'd like to become a disc jockey, how do I do it? And I say, well, it would probably be a good idea to maybe work in hospital radio or something.
Yeah, you do your
get
hospital
the experience
radio.
First That's and then right. go out on your own.
Exactly.
Okay. All right, well, we can talk throughout the programme about all your wishes and hopes for 1990, but really what we've got you here for is the music. And
okay.
look, I don't want you to feel that we're putting upon you, but look.
Oh.
I've got the wages ready.
God, boys.
I know.
7.5 pence and a cup of tea.
Yeah, and the tea as well. Tell me what you're going to perform first.
Okay, well, this is sort of, you know, because this is real showbiz live music here. We're going to do Lock and Key, which is actually the first single from the album, which I think sold 3 copies. That was my mum and dad, my auntie Maureen, and
4.
Your wife, actually, Dominic, wasn't it?
I bought one.
And you bought them 4. Marvellous. Yeah. But, I mean, you know, I am what they call a, you know, like a CD artist. And and I have to...
Very CD.
Yes, very pseudo.
Yes,
very pseudo. And, you know, the album has done very well, which I'm delighted about.
But, and so are we.
Yes, and so are you. And this is kind of, you know, a bit of a thrown together live version. Okay, you ready? Wake up, boys! Wake up! Okay?
Pleasure and pleasure and pain, and I'm wondering if I'll see you again. No tangled emotions dragging us down, and the texture of your voice, the sweetest sound. I'm gonna wrap you up and take you home. In my heart, and the lock and key. When there's nothing to hold you or holding you back, no chains of attachment, only basic facts, no strangled devotion. And the taste of your smile was the sweetest thing. I'm gonna wrap you up and take you home with me. Your treasure in my heart, and the lock and key. Precious moments, my special memories, and you know, I ain't never, never, I ain't never gonna let them go. I'll see you again. No strangled emotions, reminiscing, and the taste of your smile was the sweetest, sweetest thing. I'm gonna wrap you up and take you home with me. Your treasure in my heart, can keep. She can.
Oh, wonderful.
Yay.
Lovely. I just suddenly thought during the course of that first and excellent live performance of Lock and Key, what would have happened if we'd have invited some rap group to come in here and perform live?
Hey, man, have you got my synthesizer? I left it in the front pocket of my car.
Yes, and nice to hear live music. That's what it's all about. More from Julia, Dominic and Miles a little later on.
Well done, boys.
Aaron.
And it's very funny, actually, because when we go to Japan, our bass player is called Alan, so they keep going, Aaron and Aaron! Top reception, please! But anyway, Aaron is also on tour with Clannad, and can get pretty hairy, because they were sort of touring at the same time as me, and, you know, we'd go, quick, you know, get to the gig, we need you, and he'd do
talking
the
of that
with them and then over to us.
Have you done much touring?
Well, I did do a lot last year. We did many dates in Britain and then kind of, you know, a few in Europe, then over to America and on to Japan. So.
Does it make you a better person? I mean, at the end of the day, we hear about people going out on tour and things. The unfortunate thing is nowadays that there are a lot of artists that that have record fame without having done their penance, as it were, of doing the tours beforehand, and it shows when they perform live.
Do you think so? Well, I think lucky them. And back to your point of does it make you a better person, I think it's actually turned me into a hideous witch. I mean, and by the end of it, I'm like, shut up! I don't want to get out of bed. I can't bear another interview. I mean, it's such a wonderful experience. I mean, when I first did it, just, you know, getting in a sort of like seedy minibus with all these like musos and going up and down the M1 seemed like a fantastic idea. When you've been doing it for 5 years, it's like, show me another seat with, you know, a Mars bar packet and somebody breathing cigarette smoke in my face and I will kill. And
And the truth is out now.
The truth is out.
I thought you were such a sweet girl, but obviously you've had
and
this.
Obviously not.
You've had this ground training in grit.
I've had a ground.
You?
Oh God, that's right. But I mean, it is such a brilliant way to travel, and that I think is one of the most wonderful things about my life. I mean, apart from the fact that I'm actually paid to be creative, which I always find pretty impressive.
Does that help? Do those things help in your thoughts about writing songs as well?
I don't know that they do, because I tend to write, you know, really about people and situations and maybe the odd bit of world politics. And I don't think sort of, you know, the, you know, Manchester or even Tokyo is going to influence me in any way necessarily about my songs. But I think that if you are well-travelled, as I am, I think it gives you a much better perspective on the world and life. I mean, it's such an enriching experience.
So would I be right in assessing this as you like to perform on stage before a live audience, but you could live without all the hassle of getting to and from the gigs?
If they wanted to come to my flat, I'd be delighted.
Well, we shall find out how many people you can get in your flat, and no doubt we'll have a few audiences queuing up later, but we want another song from you now.
Okay, I might have to...
So, you and Miles and Dominic, have a swig of the DLT first, clear the tonsils out, and get organised. What are we going to have this time?
We're actually going to do... This is my favourite song, what I wrote, in fact, and I liked it so much, we named the second album after it. And it's kind of quite hard to do with just the three of us, as you're probably about to witness. But heavens, we're professionals. You're being paid 7.5p for this, so here we go, boys. Oh, I start on my own, don't I?
I am very, very much in love with you. I hope that it's enough, 'cause it's all I can do. 'Cause you treat my skin like porcelain, rare and special porcelain. Even though you know, I know you know, that this is not the real thing. Oh, isn't it enough what I'm giving to you, baby? Oh, wasn't it enough? Your kisses drive me crazy. Oh, isn't it enough? Isn't it enough? I read a book like you, it says, for what it's worth. roof. People only really get what they deserve. And I hear a voice cry out with them, relax, enjoy the possum. Treatment feels like liquid gold, a treasure hand for me to hold. Poison enough what I'm giving to you, baby. Poison enough that your kisses drive me crazy. You treat my skin like porcelain, wearing special porcelain. Even though you know, I know you know, I'm cracked from all of this living.
You get the fade as well. Wonderful. Love it to death. Thank Wonderful you. Stuff. That's really nice. I am thrilled because I knew that the sound would be great on the show, even though there are only three of you. There must be a temptation to overproduce when you're in a studio. Is there that temptation?
Yes, I think there is. And if I'm very honest with myself, I think I was probably slightly guilty of that on the first album.
Yeah.
But I think that's because I spent, you know, all my life, you know, doing my songs with just me and a guitar.
Yeah.
And then when I got into the studio, I was like, oh my God, you know, all these tracks and twiddly knobs and, you know, suddenly this wonderful opportunity to work with great musicians.
Mm.
And I feel that with the second album, I actually progressed in a way because I've learned that the temptation to put on things is sometimes quite unnecessary, and the sparsity of an arrangement, especially with the sort of things that I do, can actually have more impact because, you know,
absolutely,
less is best. And
yes.
I mean, on some things, I think that's the real art, then learning, you know, when you should in fact have more things. And I think, you know, I'm still in that process of trying to find the balance between which songs to treat as like little acoustic, organic kind of like songs and which to really go all out on. So, you know, album three should be quite interesting.
The problems of a star, I don't know. It's too much, really, isn't it? More from Julia Fordham live on the DLT show a little later on. Here's Quincy Jones.
Come here.
Oh, isn't this great?
breaking up the rules, because I'm not with that style anymore. So get your foot off the door, I'm not a child anymore. You see, that was yesterday, today is a new day, and I will obey anything you say. Put you on a pedestal and I'll praise you. If you're not high enough, then I'll raise you.
Quincy Jones and friends, I'll be good to you. It's now 12 and a half minutes to 11. It's New Year's Eve, Sunday with DLT. We've got lots of good music for you, lots of fun, and we have Julia Fordham live. Lindsay, doing well.
Celebrate the decade with me, Annie Nightingale, on Radio 1 FM tonight. From 8.30 till quarter to 19.90, over 3 hours of the best, the most significant music of the 80s, chosen by you. Blinding tracks, the greatest that you've nominated. Then, at quarter to midnight, we're going over to Dublin, where you two are playing live into the new decade from midnight till 2 a.m. Exclusively on Radio 1 FM, we'll be linking up with millions of listeners in Western Europe, in Norway, Sweden, Finland, Denmark, West Germany, Holland, France, Portugal, Italy and Greece, and also joining millions more listeners in East Germany, Czechoslovakia and the USSR. It's going to be a memorable night. Join Radio 1 FM for this exciting musical journey into the new decade. 8.30 tonight, 1989, till 2 a.m. 1990.
Down market, picking up the papers with his worn out shoes. In his eyes you see no pride, and held loosely at his side, yesterday's paper telling yesterday's news. So how can you tell me you're lonely? And he said for you that the sun don't shine. Oh, let me take you by the hand and lead you through the streets of London. I'll show you something to make you change your mind. And have you seen the old girl walks the streets of London, dirt in her hair and her clothes in rags? She's no time for talking, she just keeps right on walking, carrying her home in two carrier bags. So how can you tell me you're lonely? Say for you that a sun don't shine. Well, let me take you by the hand and lead you through the streets of London. I'll show you something to make you change your mind. Cafe at a quarter past 11. Same old man sitting there on his own, looking at the world over the rim of his teacup. In each tea lesson on, and he wanders home alone. So how can you tell me you're lonely? We'll say for you that the sun don't shine. Or let me take you by the hand and lead you through the streets of London. I'll show you something to make you change your mind. Have
he seemed the old man outside Seaman's Mission. Memory fading with the metal ribbons that he wears. And in our winter city, the rain cries a little pity for one more forgotten hero and a world that doesn't care. So how can you tell me that you're lonely? You say for you that the sun don't shine. Oh, let me take you by the hand and lead you through the streets of London. I'll show you something to make you change your mind.
Tina Turner, I don't want to lose you. It's nearly 3 minutes to 11 o'clock. New Year's Eve, it is Sunday, the last DLT Sunday show of 1989. And as I said at the beginning of the programme, we're not doing any reviews, we're not looking back. We don't want to look back, we want to look forward. It's a new decade, not just a new year, and we're all hoping for better things for everybody around the world, I'm sure. And during the course of this programme, well, We've got Julia Fordham live with Dominic and Miles, just three of them making a heck of a noise, I'm sure you'll agree. And, well, when I say noise, I mean nice sense of the word. And we'll have a couple more items from them, I promise you, before they disappear. In fact, they don't want to disappear. In fact, they want to move in. They're asking us what the rates are on this building because it's quite central for them, you see. As musicians go, they want to be near where the action is. So we'll have more from Julia later on. And we will, I know you're going to be disappointed at me telling you this, but we will be doing the ThinkLink. Ah, I can see people just falling over with fear and trepidation. No, we could not go into the new year without a ThinkLink. So at 12 o'clock today, best brains on, please. And, well, we'll test you once again. Now, the music on this programme, the policy of this programme is to play the sort of music that we know that you like. And we have got our audience sussed. We know exactly what you like. So it's, you know, it's relatively sure that when we put something on, we think, yeah, they'll like this one. Michael and A Different Corner. Good stuff, that one. That's from the final, which, of course, is the Wham thingy-me-bob. 2 minutes after 11 o'clock. We have Tears for Fears with Advice for the Young at Heart, and then I am going to sit young Miss Fordham in the corner. I'm going to point a light at her, and I'm going to ask very leading questions. Advice for the Young at Heart from Tears for Fears. It is 6.5 minutes after 11 o'clock. The DLT Sunday Show, the last of 1989. And we have with us live in the studio one Julia Fordham. And I think that perhaps now, I'm relaxed now. You know what I mean?
You're looking pretty laid back, so if you could set up, I'd be grateful. He's lying down, I'm telling you.
Sorry, I'll sit up, yes. No, we've had a couple of numbers. We're going to have some more soon. I think we'll give you about another 5 minutes or so before we actually get you to perform another number. I want to now find out all about Julia Fordham.
Oh, dear.
So what are the sort of questions that you don't want to be asked?
Well, I guess all the ones I've been asked 100 times before, like how do you define feminism? What is a woman of the 80s?
Yes.
And
all right, we don't want them. What
any
else?
Of those. And what was it like being a backing singer? And what's one of the other my firm favourites?
Okay.
Oh, I know. Why do you think there's been so many singer-songwriters lately?
So as long as we avoid that lot,
we're
all right.
We should be okay.
Okay. Have you got a boyfriend?
Sadly, no. Photos, you know, send to my home address, which we'll read out at the end of the show. Now, I'm the single woman of rock at the moment.
You are the single woman of rock.
But it's all good for the writing of material.
How much money did you spend last week?
Last week? Well, do you know, hardly
leading up to Christmas.
Leading up to Christmas.
How much money did you spend on presents? Come on. These are the questions that people want to know about.
Hundreds of pounds.
Hundreds of pounds? Really? What else do we want to... What's your shoe size?
6. Well, this is good, isn't it? Yeah, 6. I've actually got quite big feet for a small person. Well, that's what I like to
you
tell
are,
myself.
You are of diminished proportions, aren't you?
I know, considering I've got a big voice, that's what people normally say.
Yes. Is there something in that? Because there have been a lot of people of smaller stature that have had very powerful voices. And
I don't know. I think it may be something to do with the fact that I think that voices are a gift in some way. I think it just is a genuine talent, and it just goes to show you that you don't have to be, you know, a big fat bounder. To make a lot of noise. Now, your staff member was just pointing at you then.
My staff member? Oh, thanks a lot. That's him fired for a start. Yes, no. Well, I'm not a fat bounder. I'm a bounder, but look, is this fit or what?
It's delightful. He's breathing in, I'm telling you.
Oh, all right. Right, let's talk about the sort of people, you know, our audience, I'm sure, are enjoying the performances you're giving us today because, as I've said so many times before, your voice is so individual. Who do you like to listen to when you're at home?
Well, I listened to less and less. I think being in the music business as I am so much now, that you get bombarded by stuff. So I'm quite selective. I don't have that sort of desire to rush into shops and buy everything. I love songs and singers. So, I mean, I really enjoy other singer-songwriters. Joni Mitchell is my all-time hero. Mm. I love Joan Armour Trading.